This is the tune of Swing Low, Sweet Chariot.
There is a healing going on. God's love is deep within me. Say that with me together. God's love is deep within me. My heart is strong. My heart is strong. I am joy-filled.
Yeah.
And there is a healing going on together. There is a healing going on. And my favorite prayer, thank you, God. Thank you, God. Joseph Campbell wrote a book about 60 years ago called The Hero's Journey. And my hero clicker, there we go. He wrote a book, and there's a quote that I thought would be great for us to start with today. When we quit thinking primarily about ourselves and our own preservation, we undergo a truly heroic transformation of consciousness. What a great place for us to start. This week and next week, we're going to be talking about the hero's journey, and it's going to lead us up to Easter, where really the ultimate journey took place. Palm Sunday, and then Easter, as we look at the journey of Jesus of Nazareth. But the hero's journey, I like this picture. Who are you amongst thee? Which one of them might be you? Did you have a favorite hero growing up? Is there, you know, just shout it out if you had a hero, a superhero. I did not think I would hear Mighty Mouse today. Yay for the metaphysics of the mighty house mouse, okay. Anybody else? Wonder Woman, yeah. You know, guys, it's okay to be comfortable enough with your masculinity to say Wonder Woman was a hero in that invisible plane. We all wanted that. I know Larry did up there in the sound booth. Who else? Aquaman, yeah. Who? Batman from our millennials down here. The bat phone?
My dad.
Your dad. Oh, now we're drilling down. Yeah. Who said that? For 500. Good job. For me, I thought Superman was cool. Certainly. But loved watching reruns of The $6 Million Man. I perfected the slow motion run where somehow it was 60 miles an hour. I had faith that it was 60 miles an hour, but I could get that run down, and I'm a little embarrassed to think back at the people that probably saw me doing that down the street and whatnot. But it is about stepping into our power, and we had something go on this past week that I'm going to talk about a little later, where I got to see people shift, and I got to see people step outside their comfort zone a little bit, or a lot of bit. And I got to see growth. And people own their own power, where before, maybe it was a little bit uncomfortable to step into that. They were really good. Some of the folks that we had on campus seemed to be great. And Unitics are great at seeing other people's power and honoring that and being compassionate and helping them. But sometimes when it's up to us to step into the truth that we are, to step into the Christ that we are, it gets a little more challenging. And that's what we have to be able to do as a hero here. Heroic batteries in my clicker. Here, there we go. It says here to be a hero, if you are not the hero of your own story, then you're missing the whole point of your humanity. Yeah, wow. That it's okay to be the hero of your own story. And it metaphysically, and as we study our spiritual journey, we get back to the fact that it's not all out there that's going on. We're not looking for the power out there. We're looking for the power in us, that divine power that is within each of us. Next, we have a quote also that defines hero. This is my favorite definition of hero here. Any common person placed in uncommonly difficult circumstances who displays uncommonly noble character. Have any of you ever had an uncommonly difficult circumstance? This morning, okay. If you have never had that in your life, please come talk to me. I want to get to know you and find out how you were born enlightened. That's pretty awesome. Yeah, you know, that is the journey that Joseph Campbell talks about a lot in his book. It's the journey that we hear about a lot in Scripture of how people have come through those large challenges to get to the other side. And that's transformation so often, like in the poem I started off with. That's part of the hero's journey, and it's part of that particular journey that we have to be on. Now, what is a real hero? I think a real hero is any person really intent on making this a better place for all people. I appreciated what you said, that sometimes it doesn't look that way out there. So you sing a song to remind yourself, and I think music takes us to that place that sometimes words may have trouble with. Somebody that was great with words was Maya Angelou, and many of you know the story about her finding unity, and it changed her perspective and her understanding of the nature of God and her power that we all have. And at the beginning, I made you talk about the strength that is in your own heart. And here it says a true hero isn't measured by the size of his strength or hers, because there's sheroes here as well today. A true hero is not measured by the size of their strength, but by the strength of their heart. We are, in our hero's journey, expanding the strength of our heart. There's some great scripture. One of my favorite scriptures on this about the hero's journey is right here in Isaiah, where it says, if you pour yourself out for the hungry and satisfy the desire of the afflicted, then shall your light rise in the darkness and your gloom be as the noon's day. And the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places and make your desire and bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. What is that speaking to right there? What do you see there? There's power that when we are on our hero's journey, that at some point when we realize our own inner garden, that our waters do not fail because the divinity, the aspects of divinity that are within us, that Christ presence, then we turn around and we can't hold it right here, that we have to go out and feed the hungry. And we're just not talking about feeding hungry. That's a metaphor. We feed people in other ways. We support, many of you support through your offerings, the North Dallas Shared Ministry. because we are sending money each month as an organization to this organization that is getting money out to help feed and help people in transition in their lives. But it's just not about feeding the hungry. It's about people needing love and feeding the folks with love. Are you doing that in your life? That's what this verse is about. To challenge yourself to get out there and to be the change. We belong to Unity Worldwide Ministries and Worldwide Headquarters. Many of you know that just a couple weeks ago, I was on the field licensing program path. I am on the field licensing ordination path. And I got to see firsthand and listen to Jim here, who is the president of Unity World Headquarters at Unity Village. And he talked to us about why Unity is so important in the world and about how Unity is a worldwide organization is stepping up. They're not practicing what they preach, stepping up and going to help more people because, yes, there are things that psychologists call social chaos, defined as anxiety, stress, fear, distress, diseases, obesity, and things like this. And we believe that unity is what the world is seeking. We believe that the teachings are what unity, yes. Because when you go deep with the unity path, the spiritual path, then we realize, yeah, more people need to know about this. Understanding their oneness with God, understanding their oneness with each other to help others, even if they look different, even if they're a different income or different preferences, different beliefs, doesn't mean you have to believe that way. But it means we all have to move forward through this together. One of the organizations that they are working with now, just one of many, is the Tiger Lily Foundation. Does anybody know what that is? They support, the Tiger Lily Foundation was started by a young woman, and it is for young women that are in transition in their lives. They may have been abused. They may be a single mother. They need help. They need help. So, they need prayer. They need prayer support. Well, we just so happen to have at Unity Village, Silent Unity, the longest running prayer line and prayer support in the world. Continually, 24/7, you can call up and someone will say, "How can I pray with you today?" Now, when I was there for a week, I got to sit with a prayer associate, and I got to listen to the prayer that was going on, and let me tell you, I could feel it. I could sense it, the joy that these people got on the other end of this prayer. I could feel the shift they were having, and they were so appreciative. They were like, "Thank you, God. Thank you, every one of them. Thank you for being there, Silent Unity." How amazing. And we support as an organization Silent Unity as well. Part of my mission today, and as we go through this hero's journey over the next few weeks, is to let you know what you are a part of right here. Because we also support Silent Unity. And Silent Unity, the interesting thing about it is that's not all they do. They have publications because 80%, what the person told me is that 80% of her calls come from outside of people that go to Unity. 80%. Yeah. I was like, that's what I said. I was like, "Wow, really?" She's like, "Yeah." Some people that belong to another faith that found out about us through people sharing the Unity story, giving them the phone number, through people reading the Daily Word and other faiths, atheists, it doesn't matter. People are calling that line. Pretty incredible guiding principle that they continued, and I was so appreciative of this, that he continued talking about to us was to help and serve more people. And you are doing that here with us at Unity. How does that happen? Take a look at this from Romans, another scripture that we're going to use today. That is also my favorite about the hero's journey. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. if prophecy in proportion to our faith, if service in our serving, the one who teaches in his teaching, the one who exhorts in his exhortation, the one who contributes in generosity, the one who leads with zeal, big Charles Fillmore word there, the one who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Where do you fall in that? What does that make you think of? Does it make you think of your gifts? Does it make you think about the gifts that you can share with the world? Does it make you think about gifts that maybe you have that you don't even realize that you can share with the world? This week on campus, we invited people to step outside their comfort zone, to shift and to grow. And this is my class, my 7 o'clock. We had 6 classes. This is my 7 o'clock class here and a picture. And believe it or not, that we impromptu started to sing a song right after this picture that we may or may not have at the end of the service today. You can hear that song, okay? But we had 6 classes going on campus. 75 people registered for spiritual enrichment and education that came. Yes, it is something to clap about. Each class was 2 hours a day for 5 days. That's a commitment. Some folks, yes, it was. Some folks could not make it every day because of what was going on in their life, so they came. And counting people that came for at least 1 day, over 100 people here on our campus, our spiritual campus, because we are a church, but we're more because every day it's a spiritual campus. So if you were here, either as a student or as a volunteer or as a teacher, please stand. And up in the balcony, very good. Everybody else was having a little sea hangover from the week, and they're sleeping still. But an incredible commitment, and to see what transpired in these classrooms. Of course, this is one of our classrooms that Cynthia Hine and Debbie Thomas and Stephen Dunn helped to reorganize and do. And that was just one of the classrooms. And Paul Hesselbeck was up in the adult classroom, and he had a big class. And part of change takes place not just through being here and taking part in these exercises, but on the hero's journey, don't forget to eat. I could not resist taking a picture of what Lynn Dowler and her helper, Sherry, and others helped her put together. Yeah, give them a hand. It was a luncheon that happened, and it was amazing. You're going to see people here moving around everywhere and eating and really celebrating the week. This was on Friday, so we got a chance to stand up, and it was open mic day, and people got to talk about the shifts and what was going on in their life. And, of course, you know me, I could not take a picture of my plate because it was healthy, guys, and I thought that the napkin was a piece of art, and I didn't realize I was supposed to wash my face with that or wipe my face with that. So when we talk about ways that we are growing and our journey in education here, we have to realize that it did not start with us doing SEE Week. This started back in the 1800s when the Fillmores decided this would be an education movement. The church did not start until many, many decades later. People would get together, no matter what faith they were, and talk about commonalities, talk about ideas, talk about truth, much like what Joseph Campbell was about. And it was genius because anybody could come, no matter what their beliefs were, no matter what struggles they were going through. And then they joined together and they began to move together through their challenges towards transformation. And then they began to support these worldwide organizations, such as something called Soul Hope is something that's going on in the world. Soul Hope, how many of you have heard of it? Okay. Soul Hope, they are, because of what is going on with thousands and thousands and thousands of kids over in Uganda, there is a parasite called Jigger that is causing them to be crippled, the kids. So this organization started as a way to send them shoes, but not just send them shoes, but make the shoes, to cut and to sew and to send the material over there, and they combine it with rubber from tires, and they create these shoes that can help these kids not get the parasites. And the reason I bring that up to you today is because an individual here started that on campus. She came up to me not long after I got here, and that Christ light was coming through her eyes. She was like, James, I got something to tell you about. And of course, back then, well, that's never really changed. I mean, people are telling me I got something to tell you about, and I love it. And she was so on fire, I didn't even understand quite what Soul Hope was at that point. But I said, yes, let's do this. So she got some people together, and then they got some folks together. And then fast forward all the way to just a few weeks ago, Denise Hainsworth was in that group. She brought somebody who had never been to Unity, as far as I know, named Terry, that works for Neiman Marcus. So all of those, and there's some Divine Sisters, everybody's in there cutting. They said it was like a cutting meditation. They're cutting denim. Just chop, chop, chop to send it off, you know, service. Well, Terry, Denise's friend, got so excited that she took it to Neiman Marcus. The person over Neiman, I may not have all the exact details here, but I know the main points of the story is the person that's over the service aspect of their organization got really excited. And now they're launching it throughout thousands of employees. Yeah. I want you to understand that those were heroes right there, because they didn't stop. They put it into practice. What they were excited about, they were joy-filled. They put it into practice, and they went. And to talk to someone in an organization like that. Now, Neiman Marcus is going through restructure and a lot of things, but thousands of employees are going to be taking part in cutting and sending. What is that? That's consciousness. That's expansion. That's our word for the year. So, Tina Johnson, wherever you are, I appreciate you. Stand up. Now, I know at least one of us is very surprised I did not give her the mic, our board president, Fred, because when he was sharing in our class this week, he said, James has a way of making you speak about how you're making a difference in the world. So, of course, he did. But that's coming to speak. But thank you for everything. And, you know, Tina is a hero. And, you know, the hero journey can be bumpy. And we all go through our bumps. And that's part of being a hero. And we all, as an organization, may go through a couple bumps, but we continue the journey. I do want you to hear from a couple people, speaking of that, who we had a little Friday night wrap-up celebration also. And before I left, they were telling me about a couple things that happened for them. Because, guys, it's one thing to go to church and put stuff up here. I want you to read Scripture. I want you to study books, but it's another thing to practice that fifth unity principle, act, action. Knowing the truth is not enough. You got to put it in action. That's the way the universe is set up. That's what Jesus spoke of. So with that, Angel, please come up, and Don, come on up. And just tell us a little bit about what happened for you this past week here on campus, and thank you for being willing to share.
Absolutely. Hi, everyone. I'm Angel Carlton. And like everyone, we have full lives. And this past week was no different. I'm launching a new business. I just didn't have time to commit to a week-long class, although those SEE classes seemed very appealing to me. I just didn't have time. But Monday came along, and I'm like, I am going to go check it out. I'll just go check it out. So I did, and on Monday, and it was maybe 15, 20 minutes into this class, Beverly Pryor said something that was like a brick hitting me upside the head. And it was when she was explaining prosperity consciousness and what it is, and cause and effect. And what are you causing to get the effect that you're getting? And for me, it was a lot of inconsistencies and a lot of waiting for the next project, next client, and so on. And I'm like, oh my gosh, that's huge. And so in our homework, journaling and meditating, I affirmed that the wait is over. I am in motion. And that was in itself huge, but it didn't stop there. Thank you. It didn't stop there because James reiterated the importance of our why. And so I got to revisit why I'm doing what I'm doing. And putting so much of myself out there, and I realized I needed to be in this class. I needed to fill myself up and receive and be open to receive. So my belief systems were challenged all week. Beliefs about time and not having enough time. My beliefs about what am I making a priority that I thought for a second I didn't need to be here. So it was an amazing week. I walked away with resources and tools to sustain this prosperity consciousness and working on it every day. So thank you.
And she very much demonstrated this week how to go from kind of thinking about stepping in her power, and then you did by the end of the week. And special thanks also to my co-teacher, Beverly Pryor, right back there. Thanks, Beverly. So many wonderful teachers we had here this week. Don?
Hey, everybody. I'm Don Drake, and I've been coming to Unity since about 90 days ago. We told that joke because everybody in class, some people were like, I'm coming here since 1964, since 80, since whatever. So I did that, and I thought it was pretty funny. But since about 90 days ago. I love Unity. This place makes it easy to say yes. And so I saw these SEE classes and thought, well, I'm going to say yes to this too. I want to get to know people. And the courses are great. The Christ, I took that with David Drum. I think we could probably go over 6 months with David and still be getting new material. He has so much study from Greek to Hebrew to mythology, you name it. He's like, well, that came from here, and this guy said that, and this happened then. And it was unbelievable. So that was deeply inspiring to me. And then also in James's class and Lynn's class, talking about prosperity, one of the things we had to do was, or didn't have to do, they recommended some books, and I was like, oh, great, I need another book. I've got a lot of books. I've seen The Secret. I've seen What the Bleep Do We Know. But I got the Spiritual Economics book, and reading that book, getting 20 pages into it, and reading about the support of the universe and knowing that I don't have to do all this on my own, that the universe owes us support by virtue of the fact that we're here, just stopped me in my tracks. And I actually had some tears come up around that, and just the feeling of power that came up from being able to tap into that universal source. I shared this in our class, that was surprising to me that I felt that big of a shift. And I still feel that shift now in my heart. I can feel the energy from that class. And so the greatness of being able to be here every day and feel the vibrancy and the growth that's occurring here on campus, and then be amongst other seekers too, where questions are encouraged. You know, I had a bunch for David, and they took the questions, and people know that we're seeking here, and so that seeking is encouraged, and that is awesome to me. So I just felt this huge sense of empowerment, felt the growth, and I'm looking forward to the next classes, and even inspired to work with Eric on a class based on David's class. That it just, I was really moved by this, and I recommend coming because I'm energized by it. I really am.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And we're keeping the momentum going. You guys can come May 7th. We're keeping the momentum going. Our next C week is May 7th, and you can find out about those particular classes next Sunday. And I know that not all of you can come to something like that, but I know that you're involved, and you are the placebo book study, where we have record numbers attending that and other classes. We have over three meditations a week here. You know, over three meditations. Yeah. To go in, to turn inward and discover your own gifts and who you are. And I want to say, SCE was not one person. It was a coordination between groups here on campus, a massive coordination, a lot of behind-the-scenes details. The organizations that were involved was the board, the LUTs, of course, the teachers, coordinating the information flow between students and teachers that Lisa Walker headed up, the promotions, you know, getting it out there. The staff worked very hard, and the cleanup and the arrangement all went toward us creating our own model. I based it off the model of Unity Village in Hawaii and other places, but we created our own model because guess what? When people started talking to us about the journey we were about to take as an organization, even Paul Hesselbeck, who you heard last Sunday, the dean of SCE at Unity Village for 6 months, or for 10 years actually, he was there. He said it takes over 6 months to put this together. We did it in 3, and it was successful, very successful. Because we saw the pieces, and as I had coffee with him yesterday, as he was about to leave town, he was stirring his coffee, and the last thing he said, second to last thing, was, I was wrong. He goes, people are going to know about Unity of Dallas, was his exact words. There's so many people we could think about that, but it goes back to when I first came here and met people like Jim Nippert, who was the board president, and said, this is our vision. We think we can do this. We know we can do this, is what he said. And it was a vision that was started getting, you know, a couple years ago on what the new Unity of Dallas could look like. And there's some law of attraction there. You could call it the universal law of sowing and reaping from the Bible. Or my mentor, Sky St. John, called it the echo effect. What thoughts and intentions are we putting out into the world with our prayers and our actions? So it attracted us together like this. And something was pulling me here despite what I was hearing out there. And it's amazing what can happen when that happens. So what are your steps? I want to give you some steps before you leave today to think about on your hero's journey. Steps to take away today as we start to wind down. The first one is just show up. That's the hardest step sometimes. Like what Angel said, she showed up for 15 minutes the first day. That led to the next day, which led to the next. Just be willing. Show up each Sunday when you show up here. You are adding to our vibration, our energy, our consciousness. And then from there, you can figure out how to plug in with what we're doing to serve or to take a class of some type, to go deeper, okay? So that's number one. After you show up, we ask you to be willing to turn within. Because like your song, there's too much going on without. But we have to turn within. That's the fourth unity principle, prayer and meditation. Not something way out there. It's our own inner journey. And I say be willing to turn within because some of you may be new and it's very uncomfortable for you to do that. And that's okay. Just be willing. Affirm that every day. I am willing. Because you might do it for a few seconds. Then you do it for 20 minutes. Then you do it for longer. And you find yourself doing it throughout the day on your journey. And you can't not do it after that. But that's where the answers come from. That's where the passion is stirred up. That's where we get our joy. Which is number three. This is not Dancing with the Stars, but it really is. This is now I know if you were to see this picture out in the world somewhere, you might judge it. But these are stars. At the fashion show last week, they showed up and they were dancing and doing the tango. And I didn't know you could do that, guys. I did not know. And you stepped out. You stepped out and it was awesome because you were feeling it. And I'm sure you've always been able to dance that way, right, Deb? It's been a journey. Courage to go the distance. Now, when I was coming back from Unity Village, I was coming down the escalator at the airport. And I heard all this noise. I was like, what's going on down there? And I come below, and all of a sudden, I could see it. And it's this proposal taking place for marriage. And the signs said, will you marry me? And, of course, I had to go whoosh, and pull out my camera and get a shot of it because that's what this guy is saying right there. Will you marry me? And what did she say? Yes, right there. They're hugging. Everybody was hugging. I was hugging them. They were like, that guy must be from Unity. But when you turn within and you become, you increase your awareness of what's going on in your life in those moments about what's making you uncomfortable. And on your, you may feel like you're muddling toward enlightenment. That's okay. But when you turn within, you start to stir that passion and that joy, and all of a sudden what comes out is the why. And that's what we talked about a lot in this class, is discovering our why. Why do you need to discover your why? Anybody know? Yeah, I'm glad to hear a few people in my class. Everybody knows what their what is. People say, oh, what am I going to do today? Well, I'm going to get up, take a shower, brush my teeth. And a lot of times we end up with the same old steps we take. And then the next day and the next day. That was not the journey of Jesus. He was shaking it up. And other spiritual masters shaking it up. So we need to start each day and ask that question until we get an answer. But we do it from a place of prayer, which is much better. What is our why? Know your why, because if you know why you're doing what you do each day, life gets so much more joy-filled. Are you going to work to serve, or are you going just to earn the paycheck? Why am I there? Why am I hanging around the people I hang around every day? Well, some people you may have to hang around. Maybe your kids or whatnot. But who are you on this journey with? When you come here, you are choosing your family. The people, your friends that you hang around, are they stirring the passion? Are they helping you with the why? So know your why. That's the fourth step today that I wanted to talk about. And we're going to close. Just know that you are on the hero's journey. And you are a champion. I'm glad to be here with you. Thank you.
Are the champions?
Thanks for that, right? It's our